Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to an NFL commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Part two.
I'm Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports, and your home for all Kraken-related stories.
I'm Ryan Lambert from this podcast.
I'm Sean McAdoo from The Athletic.
And you're in Puck Soup, where we are taping the show a little bit later than usual, both in the time of day and in the time in the week when we do the show, because we wanted to get the big news in. No sense in doing a show without getting the big news. The Seattle NHL expansion team, now and forever known as the Seattle Kraken. The Kraken. Kraken Skulls. Let's go around the room. I'm going to go to Sean first.
No, nobody wants to hear my take on this.
Sean, what was...
I'm only here to hear Lambert. Nobody cares what
you're passing the conch shell to Lambert? Fine. Ryan, what was your take on Kraken being the official name?
I think people saw on Twitter, if they are unfortunate enough to follow me, that my initial reaction was disgust. but now I've had time to think it over and like kind of get used to it and, you know, think about the jersey and stuff like that. And now, you know what, Greg? I think it's freaking epic wind sauce. You know, I think it reminds me a lot of my favorite movie and book, which is Ready Player One. And you know, it's just one of those things where you have to be smart to get it, like my favorite TV show, Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, and now anytime I see a camera, you're not going to be able to see this, but I'm just going to turn and look at it and go, ah!
Yeah.
And do like a big Chris Pratt gif face, because this is the freaking coolest. And if you say it's you know, like a bad, like a meme name, like that's gonna be regrettable in 2 months, I think, mm-hmm. to many of the people involved, you're actually against fun, and all the people who like it now are definitely never gonna be like, oh, this actually kinda is bad.
Yeah. A couple of things. Like, I saw that you made a Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce reference.
Yeah, the freaking mascot is going to be Pickle Rick for this team. It sucks.
And I did see that somebody said that they kind of called you out. They said, you know, as the guy who's always saying, hey, NHL, stop being so lame, that you coming, you know, not being all in on Kraken is sort of off-brand. You should be encouraging names like the Kraken.
Should I? I'll go on fucking r/AmITheAsshole and I'll see if anybody fucking likes that shit on there. Stupid. It's funny. Dude, you know what? It's funny. I read Emily's story about how they named it, and they had the name decided on day one, is basically what it turned out to be.
Well, hold on. Hold on. They investigated whether they could call the team the Metropolitans, and in the single greatest example of Gary Bettmanism, Bettman was like, well, actually, we already have a division named that, and I don't want to change the name of the division.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Everybody loves the name of that division.
Everybody loves it, and everybody has their shirt that says, like, Metropolitan Division champions. We love the Metropolitan Division. And it's, look, I'm trying to think. When's the last time they changed it? Oh, right. They just said there was no more Southeast Division.
But by the way, that's
the end of that.
If I may be so bold, the fucking Major League Baseball approved a team called the fucking Nationals. And there's an entire league
called
named
that,
the Nationals.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Anyways, not, so,
look, Greg, the, you look at the revenues for Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do they know?
They're doing way worse than the NHL, I presume.
So the Red Emily story, they were on Krakens. Go ahead.
Everybody walked into the office on day one and there was a note that said, like, release the Kraken. And it's like, well, then why the fuck did we do this for 2 fucking years? To go, oh, well, it could be, you know, it could be Sockeyes. It could be. No, it was never going to be anything but this. And the reason why is another thing that Emily's story reminded me. Jerry Bruckheimer's in the ownership group. Jerry Bruckheimer, in I think 2005 maybe, had a little movie called Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men's Chest. And there's a freaking Kraken in that, and the guy with the octopus face says something about the Kraken, and everybody goes, oh, epic. I freaking love it. This is like when freaking Spider-Man and Batman are friends, or whatever.
Superman and Batman? The guy with the octopus face Casey Jones? Was that who that was?
Davy Jones.
Casey Jones
is the Ninja Turtles man.
The turtle with the hockey mask, right. Or the hockey
He's stick. Not a turtle, he's a guy.
Right, he's a dude.
And he has both a hockey stick and a hockey mask.
And a hockey mask, right. A couple things. First of all, I was talking to somebody in the know the other day, and I said, why did it take so long if it was just going to be Kraken? And this person said to me, well, the NHL kept on coming to Seattle and being like, how about now? How about now? How about now? And Seattle's like, no, not yet. We're not ready yet. We're not ready yet. We're not ready yet. And so it turns out that the day that they chose, they're like, we could totally do it this day, was A, the beginning of Major League Baseball season, and B, a day in which the Washington Redskins changed their name, therefore taking over almost all of the spotlight from we're going to name our team thing.
I think the time difference was 11 minutes between the... the right. Seattle announcement and the Washington announcement. And it's like, to your point, why were they not ready? What was the fucking holdup?
I don't know. They had to film that video of the guy on the boat with the dog in the net. Sean, we're gonna tick down the aspects of this branding in a second. But Sean, what was your initial reaction to Kraken, and was it
to the name?
To the name and the vibe and the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't love it. I think that when you first heard it suggested like a year ago, there was a part of me that was like, oh, that would be kind of cool, and that has faded since then. I mean, people who listen to this know I'm the traditionalist guy. It's a little. I don't think I'm the intended audience. I don't think I should be the intended audience. I will say I'm in a house with two kids, and the kids both think it sounds cool, and a wife who does not care about hockey but is a big nerd, and she thinks it's cool as well. And realistically, you're not going to get the diehard hockey fan traditionalist types. That's not your audience anyways. They're already locked in on a team. There's very, very few traditionalist hockey fans floating around that don't have a team already you're not going to pull them off from. So I get why they did it. It's different. There's some creativity.
Well, there's
to
a
it.
Reason it's different though, right? Yeah. Like it's different because it stinks. I'm just going to quote extensively from Emily's piece throughout, I guess, but another thing that
it was really
was
good.
Like, you
if,
know,
if you haven't read, if, well, hold on, if you guys haven't read it, like Emily got the inside scoopage on how they came up with the name, the colors, the whole thing. It's on ESPN. Just to shill for a second, like she did a really good job and also did a really good job laying the groundwork to get that story for like a fucking year. So go check it out. It's really good. Go on. Sorry.
That was worth it. It's a thing where it's like, there's only three other teams in the NHL that don't have an S at the end of their name. And it's like, right, that's like how plurals work.
Yeah. That part like, is that's
such
part
a
is
stupid
dumb. And I'm not even going to get into the whole, like, I don't know whether Kraken should be plural or not. And please, nerds, don't get on Twitter and, like, explain the etymology of Kraken to me. I'm not asking for that. That part where they're expecting some sort of creativity points for dropping it, like, that was cool in the 90s, the first
well here's
times
the other thing to
it,
say but... here's the other thing to say about it, one of those teams is the Wild, a team that everybody yep. thinks the name's stupid.
Yes. Which so, and I found out today that that group includes pretty much every Wild fan. So
yeah,
that's, I don't know. This one may or may not age well. This could be, look, I'm a Toronto guy. We named our basketball team after a popular movie from
the highest grossing movie of all time.
Yeah.
No, this isn't the fourth best Pirates of the Caribbean movie. This is, at the time,
well, what's
the most popular movie ever made.
Isn't there like another Kraken movie?
Yeah, there's the
Clash
fucking,
of the Titans.
Yeah, the remake of Clash of the Titans that nobody thinks about, except through the lens of this stupid fucking
there was
meme.
There was a Kraken in the original Clash of Titans. He just wasn't a squid, though. It was like a multi-armed monster with a face and stuff.
Yeah, but like Liam Neeson didn't say... release the Kraken in it. Like, that's the reason the Kraken has entered the popular, like, mind in the last 20 years is because of Dead Man's Chest and Clash of the Titans, the remake.
And I would also say, to your point, though, you know, if we're going by the grosses of films to justify a mascot, why didn't we have a team called the Na'vi? I mean, Avatar, after all, was one of the highest grossing movies of all time.
They didn't have an expansion team then.
Yeah, it's true. By the way, Sean, I don't think you have to worry about the internet nerds coming at you, because Webster's defines Kraken as a fabulous Scandinavian sea monster. The plural of Kraken
is Kraken,
Kraken or Krakens. So... to speak to all of our points, because I agree, I don't like mass noun team names. There's a reason why the Lightning go by the Bolts, because the Lightning is fucking dumb on its face, because it's not plural.
My friend jokingly refers to them as the Ning.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the point is that if they weren't beholden, as Ryan pointed out, to one line in a middling remake...
Clash of the Titans.
It should be Krakens, because Krakens is an accepted plural of Kraken, but since no one says release the Krakens in Clash of the Titans, they went with Kraken and caused the problem for all of us, because we don't like mass noun names. I agree. Two other things about the name real quick. We wrote about it in a roundtable. Like, it's coming out on Friday on ESPN. I give a demerit because here's something I've come to learn about Kraken. People like me who really love the name and the concept, quite frankly, it's the closest we're ever coming to a kaiju being the mascot of a professional sports team. We are the ones who influence this. It's not the people in Seattle that wanted Kraken. Every poll that they had for the team name was always like, let's call it the Sakais. Let's call it the Metropolitans. Let's call it the Totems.
That's
like, nobody wanted Kraken.
Yeah, that's another thing. Emily said in the poll, like in the poll the Seattle Times did, they were like, yeah, Sakais and I think Metropolitans won, but Kraken performed well. And I was like, oh, really? Yeah. And I looked it up, and they did a bracket-style tournament. It got eliminated in the first round.
Yeah, so. right. I mean, I think that you know, Emeralds was one that people liked better than Kraken. I got to be honest with you. Like, the more I thought about it before the name was official, when I heard Evergreens, that kind of
grew on
me. Yeah,
that would have been tight. Yeah.
Like, it would have been tight, especially after you named your fucking arena the Climate Change Arena. Like, your team's called the Greens, and you're playing at Climate Change Arena? Come on, that's fucking great. So that's the second thing that bothered me. And here's the third thing. And again, this is a dicey subject, so I'm going to tread as lightly as I can. I did find it hilarious off the hop that it was going to be the fans being called crackheads and the place being called the crack house and, you know, the season ticket holders, the crack addicts. We all had a good laugh about that. I completely... Well, I did. Call me a fucking troglodyte or whatever. Like, I thought it was funny. I still kind of think it's funny. But there is an entire other side of this equation, as I was made well aware of after the name was released, where crackheads carries a pretty heavy racial connotation. And there's been papers written about it, and there are fans that have talked about it. And the idea that there's a flippancy towards this already, and will probably only continue to be so as more fans, you know, join the fan base and the team gets going. I don't think the Kraken themselves are going to, like, sell Crackhouse t-shirts necessarily, but it's going to be part of the overall identity of the team, to the point where Breaking Tea is already selling a Krakens t-shirt, and there's a huge backlash against it at the moment, and probably will continue to be so if it becomes part of the branding. So there's a certain, like, uncomfortability around that part of the name, although Kraken remains, like, obviously an easier sell than fucking Totems would have been, right? So there's that.
Yeah, you're right. It's not racist, so it's fine.
Well, I mean, compared to what Totems would have been, come on.
This would have Kraken not been a good time for
Totems.
Yeah, I understand that.
Right.
Nobody's saying that it would have been a good time for it.
Right.
What I'm saying is, if you're like, well, you could eat shit, or I could murder you. What are your two? I guess I'll eat shit. I don't. You know, like, that's fine. I don't know. Like, it's, you know, you're propping it up against a purposely bad other option. Hmm. That, again, they apparently did consider for a while, and then were like, oh yeah, that would be not a good idea.
Pretty
at
bad.
All.
Not a good idea. Do you think the NHL would have allowed Totems? I always wonder about this. Like, I remember back in the Golden Knights days.
Well, I mean,
like,
they're not making Chicago do anything about anything.
Right.
So,
the NHL discouraged the Golden Knights from any semblance of a gambling name, right?
Yeah.
But I always wondered, like, boy, these fuckers are paying a lot of money to come be part of this league.
Yeah.
You figured they'd get a little bit more leeway on what they want to call the team.
I don't think the NHL would have had a thing to say up until a month or two ago, and then
yeah, I agree with that.
There probably would have been some discussions about changing it up.
All right, so tread lightly on crackheads. I give the name about a 7, by the way, just because of all the things we talked about, out of 10. Let's move on to the logo. What say you about the logo, Ryan?
It's cool. Like, they, you know, like, I like that they did the thing of honoring the Metropolitans with just having an, like, a stylized S. I know you flipped out about, like, oh, there's a tentacle in the negative space. And it's like, yeah, I mean, you know, like, that's, they got to do something to have it. Because otherwise, like, there's nothing to indicate that this team is called the Kraken, like, on
right.
the jersey itself. So they had to do something. And, like, that, it could have been a big stupid squid, so I think or, like, you know, the whole S could have been a tentacle, and, like, that would have been dumb as well. So, like, you know, they did the best they could with it. The colors are good. I was kind of hoping that they would do that, like, really neon green that all the Seattle teams like to incorporate. Like, that would have been a really cool addition, but, you know, I like the mix of the really dark blue and the really light blue.
Mm.
And the red is a nice touch as well. So
yeah, the big red. By the way, that red eye, apparently it was David Bonderman, who's, like, the primary owner, who said, hey, we need to put an eye on this thing, and it looks really tight. But don't you think that eye is basically like the eye from the San Jose Shark that they just used?
Let me pull this. It up again. Hold on,
because it kind of looks like it.
Let's find out.
Take a gander, Sean. What about you? What are your thoughts on the logo?
Yeah, I like the logo. The logo is cool. It works for me. The color scheme is good. It fits the Seattle look. I think I'm in a minority in that I'm one of the few people who didn't mind the red and black that kind of leaked a little while ago and that was suggested as being one. I don't think you're a fan. I thought it looked cool. But I also get that didn't really fit with what we think of as the Seattle sort of color scheme. And this works. It's fine. People who know me know I'm not, like, a really big jersey design guy. I don't. Whenever people start getting into, like, oh, there's stripes on the arm and I'm supposed to care, I don't. But the logo the logo works. It looks neat. The little red eye is cool, even though it does, I am one of those people where I kind of flip it and see the, like, snake sticking its tongue out sort of deal, but yeah. It generally, it's cool. I like the, I gotta admit, I didn't see the tower and the anchor, and I thought that was a neat detail, and...
Yeah, that is cool.
It's good. You know, these sorts of things, I mean, I've sat in logo design meetings, and I've watched consultants pitch them, and it's the funniest thing you've ever seen, like the level of detail and fake thought that goes into.
Oh yeah, they think they're geniuses for coming up with this shit.
Absolutely, I would love to see. I guarantee there's like a 200 page branding PDF somewhere that's going to leak, and it's just going to be the funniest thing you'll ever read. But yeah, at the end of the day, it looks cool. You know, my rule with logos has always been I want something that a kid can draw in their pencil case, and this is pretty good because every kid's been drawing that fancy S thing on their pencil case from kindergarten on, so now they just got to add like a little tentacle and a tongue, so I think it's doable. I like it. I give a thumbs up on the definitely the logos, and the overall look is, it's fine.
Greg, I just texted you.
The Loch Monster, right?
No, that is, of course, the Cleveland Lake Monsters. That the Seattle Kraken logo is.
Yeah, it kind of looks like that. Sean, I agree with a lot of what you said. It took me a while to warm up to this. I saw a leak of it earlier in the week, and it really wasn't the best resolution, so I was kind of confused as to what I was looking at. The more I look at it, the more I like it, though. I like the fact that it's like a squid head as like the top of the S. To speak to your point about how the designers always come up with bullshit, one of the things that they said was that the rest of the S is like the bevel look of the hull of a ship.
Yeah, okay. So right there. That's...
Yeah.
I love stuff.
So now I got to pull up the damn S again.
Yeah, it's like that to evoke Seattle's maritime tradition. It's like the beveled hull of a ship or something, is what they said. And I always love that. It's one of those things too, like you said about logo design. It's always fascinating because, you know, these guys will work for fucking years to get these things right, and there's totally all these different versions, and we're gonna get it. And then like I always think about when the Leafs put out their revamped logo. And they're like, oh, here it is. Here's the new leaf. And everybody's just like, okay, but what about that butt that's on the leaf?
Yep.
It looks like a butt. Just like, it may be sort of sad that all that work was put into it, and then that's all people could see. The negative space thing is interesting. I know some people that are into graphic design. It's their passion, one might say. And and negative space usage is sometimes really cool. And then there are other times when it's sort of seen as sort of like cheap heat. Like negative space existence, like, oh, it's really easy to do that, but it's really hard to do it well. And I think they did it really well here. I think it's a really cool looking use of negative space. And, you know, overall, it's a real cool logo. I the more I look at it, the more I like it, even if they had to come up with some bullshit about, like, the hull of a ship or whatever the fuck. So I dig it. The colors. You touch on the colors, Sean. Here's the thing about me and the colors. For the longest time, they were promoting the NHL Seattle stuff using a salmon and light blue motif. And everybody thought that if it was going to be like the Sockeyes or whatever, like those would be the colors. And I fucking loved it. It was the most unique set of colors for a pro sports team that I had ever seen. I'm like, if they had the cojones to make these the primary colors, it would have been so fucking cool. And so basically seeing a really great trailer and then the movie doesn't really live up to it. It's like the Suicide Squad trailer and then the Suicide Squad movie. I kind of feel like that's how it is for me in the colors of this team.
Yeah, the thing is that they said, oh, this is a really unique color scheme. Yeah, I'm trying to think, is there anybody in the Western Conference of the NHL with a navy blue and light blue jersey with a bunch of red on it? I'm trying to think. Oh, the Winnipeg Jets, right. That's Jets, their exact color scheme.
Right.
And look, I think the Jets jersey looks good. I think maybe not their light blue third jerseys, but I think Seattle's jerseys look really good. I really like the white one in particular. But, like, again, you're not a genius for coming up with, you know, there's three different shades of blue on these jerseys. I don't know if you got, like, okay.
And, and each of which has its own name. Like, that's the thing, because the Knights did this too, right? You can't just take a color and then put, like, some random word in front of it and be like, we made up a new color. This is...
So you're talking about, Sean, you're talking about deep sea blue, which is the darkest blue. It's like almost like black.
Sure. Yeah. Ice blues. It's a blue that's so dark it's like black. So like navy blue.
Well, it's a deep sea blue. Ice blue, which of course is the color of Gatorade ice. I mean, obviously. Boundless blue.
Which one is which?
So boundless ice blue is the color of like your like light blue Gatorade.
No. But like I'm looking at the logo right now. The middle color, like the middle shade of blue, or the lightest?
I mean, obviously,
blue?
look for the shades of blue that have bounds, and then the one that doesn't.
Okay, that's true.
The lightest blue is ice blue. Okay, the boundless blue is sort of your grayish blue. Which I guess maybe is like a little bit of the accent work on the logo.
Yeah, and then it's a cornflower.
Shadow blue is the blue that is the second color of blue in the striping on the sleeves. Now here's the thing with the colors scheme here, and also with the jerseys themselves. As we transition to jersey talk. One of the things I liked about the Vegas Golden Knights jerseys was that there was a lot of weird shit going on, like textures and sparklies and all kinds of stuff. Maybe I'm just not getting it from these photos, but they're kind of plain Jane for me. Like they don't. I thought there'd be a little bit more weirdness, maybe some wavy shit or like I don't know, like a fucking tentacle around the bottom or some stuff. There's not enough weird shit on these jerseys for me. They're very sort of straightforward versus what I like to see out of an expansion team. That's just personal preference.
I don't think you can go wrong with, like, this is a pretty normal hockey jersey. Like, here's the thing. We haven't seen – they might not even have thirds, but, like, we haven't seen what their thirds look like. I bet their thirds they could get real fucking weird with. And, you know, when it's a third jersey, I think we're all less apt to go, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think now is the time to, quote-unquote, try something.
Well, their third jersey best just be the secondary logo, which, by the way, I don't think is an anchor. I think it's like a fish hook is what it's supposed to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Looks a lot like a friggin' anchor. I don't.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a big fish hook that you'd use to catch a kraken or something. I think probably would be the thing.
Well, why would they want to catch a kraken? They are the kraken. They don't want.
Well, like in theory, someone else would.
Yeah. Why would they want somebody to do that?
And the word mark itself looks like to me like the Haunted Mansion font from Disney.
I think it looks like the Pirates of the Caribbean font.
For Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not. Some of the letters kind of do and some of them don't. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's
it sounds like you think Jerry Bruckheimer had a huge influence on this logo. Is that what the vibe we're getting from Emily's story and everything else?
Like I said, they show up with a note. And you know, Jerry Bruckheimer apparently hosted some meetings about it and about like the whole deal, like the color scheme and everything in LA with Adidas. I want to say, right? Am I right about this? So
yeah, Adidas. Yeah,
yeah. I don't think it's too far out of left field to go. Everybody was like, Jerry Bruckheimer really introduced the idea of the Kraken into the 21st century popular culture.
Hmm. Yeah. What did we think of their big reveal on Thursday? Were we down with it? Was it good?
Took their fucking time, man. Just say, hey, we're really
nobody
excited.
Nobody wants to hear the dude talk. Like, nobody, yeah. Somebody has got to like be able to go to that guy and be like, nobody wants the speech. You know, but everyone worked really hard. I wanted to. I'll tell you what. We go on at 9, get everyone together at 8:50. You give a speech to all the people who worked on it and thank them. And then when the lights go on, just be like, it's cracking, and off we go. Like nobody wants to hear the 15-minute 15-minute speech. I did like the little video with the...
The video was cool.
The teaser video
was fucking cool,
was
yeah.
Fun.
And I there was so, so much... Oh, go ahead.
What I thought was going to happen, though, is I thought when we the next day came, because it was like this nice video of these like this nice old guy and this lady on a boat and they're fishing, and I thought we were going to get like the follow-up, which was the Kraken just coming up and flipping the boat and like it just... They die screaming and it's horrible, and then it's just like, boom, there you go. It was the setup and delivery, but they did not do that, and that's probably why I'm not in marketing.
I really hoped that it was going to be more awkward than that, which was that the actors from the small, the short video would show up for a live stage show portion of it.
That would have been great.
Like a real Senator's Army kind of situation. Like, yeah. That would have been awesome. No, I like the video. The one thing I'm kind of bummed about the video is that I really hoped that there was going to be a bunch of little Kraken Easter eggs in there that, you know, on the day after they would have pointed out, aha, if you had only...
Yeah, but you can't do that anymore because the internet will find all of them instantly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, there goes your whole surprise.
In true NHL fashion, though, they did... accidentally released the logo about 2 minutes before they announced the name due to an audio and video glitch on their YouTube feed.
Yes.
Pretty great.
Which is now like a modern expansion tradition that you can't get
yeah.
the video.
Yeah.
But was right. it... See, I think that logo that flashed on the screen, that looks like the old one because that didn't have the red eye in it, I don't
right.
think. Unless maybe it was too small, but it
I think it was too small. Yeah, it was too small.
Which or is that like an indication that it maybe changed more recently than, you know, they had already started putting stuff together? I don't know. I found that kind of interesting, just that it was like, oh yeah, that's not the same one that they just showed us. But
Kraken. It's going to be fun. I'm excited. And people seem like they're excited about it in Seattle. They have an identity now. It's cool. It's just,
yeah, and at the end of the day, if the team is half decent out of the gate, then they're going to immediately start making good memories with this name and logo and everything. And if the team's garbage for 10 years, then they're going to hate it and probably want right. to change everything in a few years. That's just the reality. You can have all the marketing in the world. If, you know, the Golden Knights, everything looks amazing now 3 years later, the team's good. And, yeah. you know, meanwhile, you look at some of these other expansion teams and you go, I don't know if they should have done that. Yeah, because they've never won anything. It's really not much more complicated than that sometimes.
And again, where's the bar set? Was it racist? Well, not directly. Are you going to get sued by someone else for taking their name? No. So that's good. You cleared those two bars.
Yeah. And,
it's pretty good.
But this one thing that drives me nuts whenever we have a reveal like this is like immediately... Every random logo that looks anything like it, somebody is like,
oh, yeah.
The laundromat yep. by my house has this logo look familiar? Well, and it's like, yeah, man, you got Ron Francis snuck to the laundromat near your house and decided to steal that, and you cracked the case.
Now,
way to go.
In fairness, they very much took the S from the Seagram's logo. If you go look up Seagram's, like,
well, no, like, it's
coolers,
just
they
took the S
standard.
From every kid's.
Yeah.
Notebook.
It's a pretty standard.
This is
like font.
Yeah.
Like when you get into the weird fonts, like if you scroll down in like Google Docs or whatever, and you can start pulling up the weird ones. There's like four S's that look 80% like this one. I think that's a, you know, like again, I was criticizing the team a lot for the name or whatever, but like, you know. I gotta have their back on this one. I don't think they stole the S. Like, it's just, this is what a stylized S looks like sometimes.
The last thing we gotta talk about is what we think their mascot's gonna end up looking like. Are they gonna go cuddly Kraken, or are they gonna go scary Edmonton cat Kraken?
Well, we know,
like, what are they gonna do?
They're gonna do what every mascot is gonna be for the next 10 years, which is gritty ripoff. Kind of scary, but kind of cute with the googly eyes, and he's going to be like all weird on Twitter and stuff like that, and occasionally punch a child. So
yeah, and they'll name it Cracker, and then that'll be a thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's going to be probably a gritty ripoff, but I'm excited to see what sort of branding they do. I imagine they're going to probably rip off the Golden Knights, pregame. Presentation thing. Will they have a smoking Kraken head like the Sharks' shark head and the Knights' knight head
I hope
coming
so.
out?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they'd be dropping the ball if they didn't. You can have the red eyes be glowing and all that shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At that point, I guess it'll look more like Thulu, which is another epic Reddit thing. But
people were saying that the mascot should be Cthulhu. Last thing, as the longtime Puck Soup listeners know, we've had many discussions on this show about people throwing seafood on the ice. Obviously, the Red Wings have cornered the market as far as throwing mollusks on the ice. Will they throw squid in Seattle or no?
No, they should throw the big fucking salmon from the Real World intro.
Yeah, from Pike's Market.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely. I completely agree. That's what they should do. They should throw the fish. And they in fact, to complete the tradition, instead of just throwing a fish on the ice, have one of the players catch the fish after a goal. Now, wouldn't that be fun?
I don't know anybody's got that kind of arm. Those are big fish, Greg.
They are.
You're going to have some longshoreman come down there specifically just to throw the fish every game? That's a good community outreach. I say go for it.
Go for it. Have a fish tosser of the day.
I did like that they said that all the construction workers and their families could come to the first game that fans are allowed at. So 3 years from now, they're gonna go. They're all gonna be in the third row of the balcony. They're gonna have the $52 seats, and they're gonna be feeling great about it.
Is Seattle a good sports town?
Yeah.
They're damn loud for football.
And
for
football,
they're anywhere near that loud in hockey.
I mean, like, let's put it this way: when they started a soccer team, like, they were selling out the football.
They were hugely selling out the football arena.
Yeah. So, like, I think it's a really good sports town.
Do you think that the Kraken are in trouble if they ever get the NBA back there? Do you think it's a thing where they're like, hockey's awesome, and then the minute the NBA comes back, you're like, fuck hockey? Think it could be like that?
I don't think it'll be immediate. Again, it's going to depend who's winning. If the team is what we used to think an expansion team is supposed to be, and they're garbage for the first 5 years, and the NBA shows up, they may have some trouble. But I do think there'll be some loyalty, right? I mean, there's going to be this feeling of... Hey, the NHL chose to come here. The NBA picked up and left, and maybe they come back at some point. But especially the way that ended pretty badly.
I also think it matters whether it's an expansion team or they relocate. Some I don't know who in the NBA is like a potential like a relocation candidate
for,
or whatever.
For a while, it was Sacramento, I think, was one, but I think they might be unsolved.
But well. Yeah, I mean, at that point, you know, do you call them the Seattle Supersonics and then do what the Winnipeg Jets did and just be like, oh yeah, Sean Kemp played for this franchise. Remember fucking Gary Payton? We drafted Kevin Durant that time?
I'm not taking the bait. Right now I'm doing that, like I'm looking at the referee like, are you going to call this? Are you going to jump in? No.
And here, for the first ceremonial jump ball, franchise legend Xavier McDaniel.
Here's Detlef Schrempf, everybody's favorite 2022 Seattle Supersonic.
Fun fact, I don't know if you've ever written about this, Sean, because you've written about many things that have happened
probably.
In NHL history.
I feel like I've covered all of it at this point. So,
did you ever cover the fact that Oklahoma City was a serious suitor for an NHL expansion team well before the Sonics moved there?
I did, yeah. I remember that was like the 2001, right? Like, they were at one point, they were not even necessarily the favorite, but it was like people were like, the NHL is going to add four teams and one of them is going to be Oklahoma. And then, was that 2000 or was that the 1990? Now that I'm talking about it.
One of the two. But yeah, it was before the Sonics moved
there. There's a weird
history
that like Milwaukee at one point was going to get a team. Sure thing. It was going to happen. Baltimore at one point was a sure thing that this before the Capitals. Cleveland almost got a team during the original Six era. And then it just sort of fades away and is forgotten. My favorite is always going to be that, like, the Hampton Roads Rhinos were going to be a thing because some crazy rich guy wanted to put a team in this city that had, in like,
Virginia?
Forgive me. Yeah. Like,
no, I remember.
Tens of thousands of people. Like, it was insane. Yeah. Wow. But he was like, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to build the arena. And they had a logo. They had Rocky the Rhino. They had everything ready to go, and it just didn't happen. But between that and the Saskatoon Blues, like, the number of times this league has almost put teams in super weird places is, it's fun.
That's crazy. Yeah. So, so we're thinking this is it for expansion for a while, right? Yeah.
It should be. 32 is a good number. It should be, and yet they're getting $650 million out of this. and again, and certainly if the team is good, and now when I'm saying the team is good, I'm talking like financially. If this is a successful team right out of the gate.
Everybody thinks it will be.
Which everybody thinks it will be, yeah.
Top 10 revenue.
Yeah, it being projected well, and you know, it sells out. I mean, 32 teams is the right place to stop. But what do you do when somebody shows up from... fill in the blank, you know, Kansas City or whatever market you want to pick that's still available, and says, I got $800 million and I want to have a 33rd team. Like, do we really think the NHL is going to have the self-control to say, no, we want to do this slowly? Or do we think, especially, geez, a few years, who knows what the financial landscape is going to be like a few years down the line. If somebody comes with a big check, I don't know, man. Like, this should be it, but... let's see.
Well, that's like, I don't know if you know how things have gone in Major League Soccer for the last decade or so. So they were in the like 10 to 12 range for the first decade or so of their existence. And then over the maybe next like 5 years, they were like, let's add like 8 teams. Right? Like they were, now I just pulled it up. It's, from 2006 to 2012, they went from 12 to 19. So they added more than 50% in like 5 years, basically. And then from 2014 through 2023, they're going to add another 10. They've gone from 2014, they've gone from 19 to currently they have 26, and there's 4 more coming. You know, who knows how that's all going to get affected by, what's going on, like, with the economy and, you know, the fact that, like, a bunch of teams in the league right now can't even play because they're either eliminated from the tournament or everybody got sick and they don't want to risk it or whatever. But the plan right now is to be a 30-team league in 2023. And like... the thing with MLS is there's no reason that they should really stop, right? Like, there's all these minor league soccer teams, like the USL or whatever, that they could just go, you're an MLS team now. Whatever. Who cares? And that's like, if you can put the money together for a stadium, they will let just about anybody. And I think, yeah, why wouldn't you? Like, what, you know... I honestly don't know the answer to this. Like, did people get all worked up when the NFL went from 30 to 32? Would people get all worked up if the NFL went from 32 to 34 in the next 10 years?
Yeah, I think everyone expects. I mean, it's gonna keep growing, and
yeah, why wouldn't
at some
it?
Point you're always and look, I mean, I remember when the NHL went from 21 to 24, and people went, okay, 24, that's a good number. It's 6 teams a division, it's, you know, and then it was 26 a year later, and everyone's like, oh, okay. And then we just kept going. You know, this is, you can do weird numbers. The NHL did 21 for over a decade, so you can figure out ways to make whatever it is work. But I feel like 32 works. And remember, though, you have to have, I know people can say, well, there's this market that doesn't have a team, this market. You've got to have a couple of markets that feel like they could support a team that don't have one, because that's how you blackmail your existing markets into
right.
the new arena. That, like, you right, you need a Quebec City, you need Toronto.
Houston.
They don't seem to want to go. But Houston.
I mean, Houston's the great, because that
Houston's
was Calgary's
next.
Fallback. Yeah, yeah, Calgary's fallback was Houston.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you're right, Sean. Like, the next thing that we see, if anything, might be a relocation in one of those cities that are used for leverage. I don't think that we'll see an expansion through this next CBA.
No.
I think we'll probably...
And look, we've had one relocation in 20-plus years now under Gary Bettman.
Yeah.
For all the... You know, when he came in, a bunch of teams were moving because there was a... The economics just wasn't working, but... He got this reputation as the guy who was trying to move all the teams south.
There's
been
mover,
one move.
Yeah.
It was north, and it was a situation that there was no saving at all with Atlanta. But, I mean, if Gary Bettman wanted to be moving teams around, the Coyotes would have moved, probably a few other teams. He really doesn't like moving teams. He
no.
likes to threaten to move teams, or he likes to – actually, he likes to let other people threaten to move teams, but he doesn't like to actually do it, so –
Yeah, and he likes to keep teams in places that when people try to steal them, like the Coyotes. Make sure that doesn't happen. Yeah,
yeah, but you've got to have, you know, he doesn't want to move them to Hamilton or wherever else, but he wants them to think they might move to Hamilton so that some city council closes down all the libraries and builds a nice
That's
<career.
laughs> right.
All right. Well, I think at the end of the day, the next expansion will come when we're a bit all... You know, a little bit long in the tooth. Speaking of tooth, today's episode of Puck Soup sponsored by Raycon, your
Oof.
Bluetooth headphones.
Oof, Greg.
That you love so much.
Greg.
Did you know that Raycon
That might be
earbuds,
a worse thing for me today than hearing that the team was actually called Kraken.
Wow.
Pretty bad.
Did you know that Raycon earbuds are the official earbuds of Szechuan sauce. No. Did you know that Raycon earbuds are our favorite wireless earbuds? You know that they are about half the price of other premium wireless earbuds on the market. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise isolating fit. To keep in mind about the playtime thing, I had these earbuds. I was using them yesterday. I like to put them back in their case when I'm done. I forgot to. Left them out like overnight and stuff. Put them in today. Worked like a charm. No drain battery, no nothing. Made me very happy. They're super comfortable. We've talked about the whole are your earbuds falling out of your ears phenomenon. They don't. You can go running with them. You can work out with them. I've never had an issue. It's great. As you know, celebrities love this company. It was co-founded by Ray J. Celebrities like Snoop Dogg and Cardi B are obsessed with their Raycons, as are the folks on this very podcast. They're a good price point, they work awesome, and they fit in your ears. I can't endorse this product enough. Get out there and get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com, buyraycon.com/puck. That's buyraycon.com/puck for 15% off your Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/puck. Highly recommend this product. Everybody's bottom that listens to the show can speak to how good they are. And it's good stuff, man. Check them out, Raycon. I wanted to touch on Sean's big old article on The Athletic that he did in conjunction with the Kraken being released. You ranked all of the team names in NHL history. Now, we're not going to go down the whole list.
Yes, we are. We're doing it. Okay, 59.
Well, hold on. I did want to touch on your bottom three, and then we'll do your top 10. Your bottom three are Blackhawks. I mean, there you go.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So first, let me just the concept of the piece was it's a ranking of all the names, but it's I don't care about the context, the history behind the name. I know every name has a little story behind it. It's people go, oh no, I know it, you don't like the name, but it was named after that. Forget about that. The idea was you're a brand new fan, you're a kid, you're an alien from outer space, you don't know any of this stuff, just what names sound cool, okay? Because I know everybody has their little story. I know the stories, I promise you I know the story, I don't care. They're not as interesting as you think they are. And so that's sort of where it comes from. So to get to your point, Chicago Blackhawks, the name that that we all know now is I had like somewhere in the middle of the list. It's cool right. sounding. I to some extent broke my own rule because we have to acknowledge the current conversation around whether that name should is appropriate or should stay. But I had that ranked somewhat high. What I had ranked third last is Chicago Black Hawks with a space in the middle, which was never officially the team's name. But when the team joined the NHL in 1920, whatever it was, they were Chicago Blackhawks with no space. And then they immediately, they put that in the charter and then immediately screwed it up and started spelling it with a space. It spelled it that way for 60 years until 1986, where somebody was like, we've been spelling our own name wrong for six decades. And then they just subtly fixed it and like hope nobody would notice, which I respect the hell out of. But yeah, the misspelling of Blackhawks has actually been the team name for longer than the correct spelling is the one that I ranked third from the bottom.
Mm. And then second from the bottom was the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, yeah. this is just you taking the piss out of yourself because you didn't want to upset everybody, right?
Well, there is an element of that. Whenever you do a list like that, it's going to make everyone mad. You got to put your own whatever it is either way high and just steer into it, and just be like the Elmo waving his arms in front of the Flames. You go the other way and try to soften it. And so I some of that is me doing that. But again, I said no context. The Maple Leafs have got a whole history and why they're called the Maple Leafs, and it's very cool, and I know it well, and it's near and dear to my heart. But as anyone who has ever been around non-hockey fans, they don't understand why there's a team named after a leaf. Like, there's not a more frail and fragile thing that a team is named after other than the Maple Leaf. So I gotta eat my own dog food, take my own medicine, and follow my own rules of this piece.
Yeah. I mean, I always assumed it had something to do with the flag, didn't it, or no?
No, it goes the other way. The Maple Leaf wasn't on the Canadian flag until 1967.
What?
Which, if you think Leaf fans have enough of a chip on their shoulder, yeah, they took it. Now, the Maple Leaf was a part of the symbolism of Canada. They didn't just take like a Leafs logo and put it on the flag, but they kind of just took a Leafs logo and put it on the flag and made that the national flag.
Hold on.
So what did the
Canadian flag look like before then?
67 was like the first time Canada officially formally had its like own real, not based on, not like a variation of the
Union
like
Jack
UK or whatever, a Union Jack. Like, yeah, it was like 1967 for the centennial. They're like, we're going to get our own flag that is totally our own colors, our own thing. And yeah, that was,
you're a real country now. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're a big boy. And we're going to take other countries' queens off our money any day now too. You wait.
Well, again, your money had hockey on it for a long time, so your money's good with me. I never knew that.
Don Cherry on the $50 bill.
Looks like a whole fucking... I didn't realize it was so new. I just... Like, the Canadian flag's always been a part of my life, right? So, like, I never really thought that it...
Yeah, but if you were born in 1966, you'd be singing a fucking different song.
That's right. Then I would have been a whole new context. And then, of course...
This has been the Canadian History Hour... With Puck Soup. Yeah.
The last number 59 on your list is the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that name sucks. It did the whole time, and for a couple of reasons. First of all, and I say this in the piece, and it has generated some feedback, but I'll say it again here. The Mighty Ducks is not a good movie. It's a good movie for children, and if you saw it when you were a child...
Now, wait a minute. Hold on.
Your brain wasn't fully developed yet, then you like it, and you think it's a great movie. But
hold
trust
on,
me,
hold
go
on,
back
no.
and watch it.
Yeah. Are you trying to tell me that naming something after a movie for a Disney movie is not a good idea? Now, hold on. What? I just had so
and
many people telling me, actually, it's really fun.
Again,
cool.
If it had been the Na'vi of Anaheim, we wouldn't have this problem.
Oh, believe me, there are lots of people who apparently really like the Mighty Ducks movie and the Mighty Ducks name. But look, I mean, we all know where the name came from. Disney comes in and is like, we want to buy a hockey team in your piddly little sports league. The NHL goes, yup. When do you want to start? And Disney's like, in like 8 months. And the NHL's like, yeah, sure, we'll do that. And that's pretty much where the team came from. They wanted to call it the Mighty Ducks to promote the movie. I get it. I don't like any of it. But I get it. If you had called them the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, maybe I bump you out of that last spot. Maybe I find a way to... But Mighty Ducks of Anaheim? Get the hell out. God, you do not sucks. Get to name after a child's movie and then be the one fancy, pretentious, like, naming convention. Get out of here with that. That's
the shitty part about it was the cherry
on the garbage sundae.
Anaheim also home to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Yeah, right. Maybe people in Anaheim just figure out how team names, like, it's city name. That's it. It's not that difficult. You could use, like, the state or something if you really need to, but just...
California Angels is a really good name, by the way.
Awesome name. And an incredible logo. The shitty part about the Mighty Ducks thing at the time was... I wish it had gone the other direction where the other owner that came in right around that same time named his team after his business, because the Florida Blockbusters is exponentially better.
Or Florida Waste Removal Services, because that was other. He was involved in Blockbuster, Waste Removal, and the Florida Marlins. So, I mean, this guy was just killing it.
Your top five, the Quebec Bulldogs. Sure,
it's a good name. And just if anyone's out there going like, yeah, but it's Bulldogs. Every team's called Bulldogs. This team dates back to the 1800s. So it's not like high school picking Bulldogs.
But
today.
the thing is, though, like a French Bulldog, all those breathing problems, inbreeding, and what have you. That's right. Doesn't.
Yeah.
They would have only lasted like 5 or 6 years. You're right.
Well, number four in the NHL, that's all they did last. So that's right. We're good.
Number four was the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm sorry. Yeah, did Doc Emrick write this list?
Pirates are cool, man. Pirates are. If there was some sort of pirate movie, again, I'd be all in favor of naming. But this is back before the original six. I just like it. I think it's cool.
The San Jose Sharks, I completely agree.
I'm sorry if you're
expecting
me to have, like, better reasoning than...
No.
...than any of this. Like, well, I did a survey. No, I just...
The Sharks were third.
This article came up 15 minutes after the announcement to give you a sense of how much time was put into it. So.
You're a quick writer. The Sharks were third, and that's a great name. Maybe one of the best... Yeah, best combination name and logos that we've had in the history of expansion.
Yeah, and I'm not even doing logos and all the other stuff in here, but that's a great name. And like I point out in the article, that's the Sharks is it's the name of two teams. It's San Jose, and it's Al Pacino's team in Any Given Sunday. So I don't know what higher endorsement you could want.
Yeah. Number two was the Minnesota North Stars.
It's a great name, man.
It's a really good name.
That's a really good name.
It's real good.
So. Yeah, and also it, again, you know, just behind the scenes, if I'm gonna hammer the Wild later in the list, you gotta like pump up them, you gotta get the Minnesota fans on your side early. But this is the one thing that I did find interesting about this is I knew this was gonna happen because everybody, you can criticize a hockey team's coach, GM, players, current roster, anything right now. Or any snapshot of a team you can criticize, but as soon as you go after the permanent things, people flip out. They all think their team has the best name, the best logo, the best uniforms, the best arena, the funniest anthem singer shtick, all of that stuff they always think is the best. So I knew that everyone I didn't rank very, very high on the list was going to be very mad that I
how dare
see
you,
how
sir?
Obvious it
the
is.
The Colorado yes, Avalanche is a great name. It's the best name in the league, also the best logo and broadcast.
100% that I get that. I did. I got it from absolutely everybody except Minnesota Wild fans. Minnesota Wild fans are like, yeah, it's,
they get
that
it.
Name sucks, man. We hate that
it
name.
It fucking stinks.
And yeah, so they're good. But yeah, North Stars.
Well, did you see the thing where I don't know why this came up recently, but apparently somebody said to them, like, hey, so is it like a bear or is it like a wolf? And they were like, it's not any of that. And it's like,
it's a wild animal.
Fuck you.
Wild.
And that, because the thing is, that's what I wrote is, I said, team names are nouns. Sometimes you can get away with a verb. Wild is an adjective. Go back to the dictionary and try again. And I've got like... All of these wild, like, Wild fans are not defending it, but they're like, actually, Wild.
It is a noun.
Also, be a noun. It's like, I know. Please don't grammar nerd on my punchlines. If it's all the same to you.
Yeah, please don't call out the grammar of a writer. Number one on the list. It's the Peter North Stars. No, it is the Quebec Nordiques. God.
More epic bacon guy shit. Oh, yeah. I actually named my freaking hockey team the mighty Pucks. Everybody goes, yeah, that's fucking cool, man.
The N was a wiener. The Quebec Nordiques were number one for you.
Yes, it's a cool name. It means Northman, which is a Peter great Northman, name.
Yeah.
But even if you don't know what it means, I mean, first of all, they kept the French, which I love. And because I'm sure the marketing consultants were like, you can't have a French. They went French. But even if you don't, like, it just said Quebec Nordiques. That sounds great. It's a great sounding name.
You got two comedy cues in there.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the one thing that they always tell you in writing school is if you want your article to really be popular and really go viral, you got to pump the tires of a market that doesn't exist anymore. That's really where you want to nail your number one spot. So
this was classic down goes brown clickbait.
Yeah. Yes. I'm just going after Quebec City with two spots in my top five for the like one North American market that we're not in. I'm pretty good at this.
One more ranking I want to discuss real quick. NHL Network released one out of there. The NHL Network rankings of players are
no, they couldn't have done this to me in these trying times, Greg. They couldn't have done NHL Network list famously also.
They're just incredibly bad. They came out with their top 20 defensemen. Let me read it to you from
20, no,
from 20 to 1. Okay. Number 20, Shea Theodore, then Mark Giordano, then Ryan Ellis, then Morgan Rielly, then Erik Karlsson at number 16, Jacob Slavin, number 15, Shea Weber, Drew Doughty, number 13, Quinn Hughes is 12.
He's good. He's not bad. I wouldn't put him 12.
Slavin, Karlsson, Ryan Ellis.
I've had a bunch of Vancouver fans insist to me that Quinn Hughes is already the best defenseman in franchise history, which is completely ridiculous.
And they're
not completely sure that they're not right.
No, they're 100% right. The only other guy is like peak of his powers, Alex Edler, and it's hard to separate that out from the Sedins.
So, not apologies to Matthias Olin. You've been bumped off of the list.
Yeah, I'm not sitting here and taking this fucking Jurki Lume slander. Number 11, who else? Brent Burns. Number 10.
Oh, sure, yeah, had a great year.
Zach Werenski. Number 9, Charlie McAvoy. Number 8, Christopher Letang. Number 7, Dougie Hamilton. The sixth best defenseman in hockey is Cale Makar, as obviously you all know.
Sure, yeah, why not?
The fifth best is Seth Jones, then Peter Angelo is fourth. John Carlson third, Roman Yossi second, and Victor Hedman first.
All right, man. Like, I've said it a bunch of times about the NHL.com lists, and it's like they exist only to piss off, like, me and my friends. Like, that's the only reason they exist. Like, you have to have suffered a traumatic brain injury before you can cast your ballot for one of these things, but that's fine.
Peak of his powers, I'd say that Victor Hedman's probably the best defenseman in the league. Yeah,
yeah. Peak of his power, he's great. I think that's probably about right. Honestly, right now is Hedman and Yossi 1-2 based on the years they just had and their reputations and all that. Sure, okay, that's fine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But like John Carlson third, get a fucking grip. He's great, but come on.
The thing I never get with these lists is, like, what range are we talking? Is this, like, this year, or is it the last 5 year, or it's always so strange, because, like, Drew Doughty, he can have a terrible season and still be, whatever, 12th, but, like, Mark Giordano won the Norris last year, was fine this year, and he drops, like, almost off the list.
The 19th, yeah.
Yeah,
Erik Karlsson plummets down to 16, but Brent Burns is...
Yeah, yeah, Drew Doughty's going to be 3 years in the ground, and they're still going to be like, "I just missed the top 20."
The thing, and I agree with you. Like, what's the criteria? Because like fucking Britt Burns was terrible this year.
Yeah.
He's bad. He didn't even
do the one thing he can do. He was runner-up last year, so, I mean, I don't know.
Oh, these dumb lists. But
I'm honestly, out of everything you just said, the thing that surprised me most is they had Dougie Hamilton almost top five.
Yeah, reasonably high, yeah.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
and appropriately high, we should say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we are, let's talk about the awards real quick. Anything bug you about the awards since they all came out since the last show?
I mean, the only thing, like, yeah, they got Dreisaitl in the top three, and they got Carlson in the top three, and both of those are wrong. For reasons we've discussed on the podcast already, and everybody knows what they are, even if they want to pretend. Like, I couldn't possibly comprehend why anybody would not have Leon Dreisaitl in their top two or whatever.
You and I were both upset that fucking they snubbed the goalie again for the Hart, because this year
Hellebuck should win. Like, that team was horrible. He was the best goalie in the league. They, again, when the season ended prematurely, they were in a playoff spot. I don't know what, you know, not by points percentage or whatever, but...
But by points.
But by points, they were in a playoff spot. So, you know,
it's like... It's just bizarre, because, like, if you look at the goalies that have gotten a Hart win, it's usually because they propped up terrible teams, like Hasek.
Yep.
And, like, he totally did.
He did. And, I remember I looked it up when I wrote my, like, here's why I think Hellebuck should win, because people kept asking me, like, yeah, he was good, but was he that good? And I was like, yeah, here's why, you know. And the thing, when Carey Price won, like, he was unbelievable that year, but everybody acted like the Habs were fucking terrible. And I looked it up, and they were, like, you know, in just about every underlying category – like you could think of, middling. They weren't great, but they were fine. And, you know, Carey Price had, whatever, like a .934 save percentage that year, so fair enough. Like, he was awesome, and he was probably the most valuable player in the league. But, like, the Habs weren't that bad that year, and the Jets were way worse than that this year. And he didn't, you know, I'm sure he's going to be, like, fourth or fifth. Like, I haven't talked to anybody that didn't have Hellebuck in their top five. So far,
He's going to be up there. I really feel like he missed probably more than anyone on just the fact that we didn't get a close of the season.
Yeah.
I feel like if there had been a push for the playoffs and the Jets are right there the last 2 weeks and he's out there playing good hockey and wins that game on the last weekend to put him in, I feel like that puts him over into
probably.
The top. Because I got to be honest, I won't say what my ballot was. I had a tougher time than I thought getting him into my top three, because I buy everything you're saying, and I completely believe that goaltenders get shafted, and yet there were some real good candidates, and it was tricky, but I think we're going to find out that he was a very solid number four, because I found that my ballot had four guys at the top of it, and then a fifth where it was like, this could be anyone.
And there were like six guys who could have been fifth. Absolutely. But the thing I wanted to say, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is about the Selke.
Yeah.
People just fucking go, who was nominated last year? Let's just pick them again. People don't pay attention. They don't care. And they just go, who's a guy who I think of as being a good defensive player who had 58 points this year? That's my pick. Every single fucking year.
Yeah. Is there a different way to do it?
Yeah, I mean,
like 59 points, or,
well, the thing, like, Cirelli was very high on my list. He didn't make the cut, and again, it's one of those deals where he is sort of in the larval stage of a Selke guy, like Couturier was for a number of years before he had 76 points, and all of a sudden he got to be a nominee because of it.
I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head.
Hold on, while you're looking that up, the only other thing that surprised me, and again, it's really one of those, either way you're all right, is I thought that Pietrangelo would have gotten in ahead of Hedman this year, only because his numbers were slightly better. Especially on the analytics front. And then I guess the other thing that surprised me, but again, like, I don't know who the fuck you kick out, is Sullivan not getting in for the Jack Adams.
That was my thing too. It's like, I think the guy you kick out is Torts, because, you know, he didn't tell Junas Korpisalo to go from being like an 890 goalie to being 925. Like, he didn't come up with that
idea. And then have Bruce Lickens come in and fucking dominate for, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yep. No, and like, I think that's the one guy I would kick out. But like, he had a really good year. He coached a team through a lot of injuries to important players and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, you know. Oh, by the way, the number is from 2010 to last season. There were a total of 50 spots in the top five for Selke finishes. 18 guys got nominated. In,
wow.
And like,
that's,
you know,
incredible.
A bunch of them were just like, oh, you know, Bergeron was 8 or 9 times, whatever the number is.
It is a reputation.
It's 100% only based on reputation.
Like, I gotta say, like, well, I don't think it's only based on reputation, but it is one of those where, and partly because it's so hard to measure, and partly because I think we've talked about it, maybe this is an award that we, being the media, shouldn't be voting on. Maybe this should be, I you know, let the top 100 scorers in the league, they each get a list, and you guys vote on the defensive or just the players in general or the coaches, whatever it is. Probably not the coaches, but there's probably different ways to do it. But I do like, it's not the right way to vote for it, but it does add an interesting element where it does feel like, you know, you kind of have to work your way up over the years, and you're expected to, it's in a way sort of like the actor Oscars, where you're like, you're expected to lose a couple of times, and then you know eventually will decide that it's your chance, and not that you got to wait a long time. I mean, Sean Couturier felt like he was going to win all year long, and he's not an old guy, but he did need to establish himself, and maybe this is, it's like you need the snub year, and then you need the finalist year, and then you win, and this is, I guess, going to be Cirelli's snub year, and. And we go from there. But
well, the other issue is that, like, again, like, it just goes to a guy who had like 52 points and is thought
it
of
has
as
become
playing
the,
good,
the two-way
good
player.
Yeah, and
which
like
is not
that
says,
fucks like
but
a Zach Aston Reese, who had, I think, 15 points this year and was the best defensive forward in the league. You know, like, by any metric you want to look at, like, underlying numbers and all that kind of stuff, he was fucking unbelievable. But because he wasn't on the ice for 35 extra goals the other way, like, oh, well, how could he have been any good defensively? It's fucking psychotic to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, awards, what have you. Real quick, we're still in a global pandemic.
What?
they're gonna start playing games again soon. Good testing news this week for the NHL. Only 2 positive tests since training camp started. I caution everybody, though, like, this is great, and like we said a million times, if they go to the bubble, they follow the protocols, they get tested every day, there's a chance they could actually pull this thing off. But call me when these guys have been isolated for a month and a half, and they are tired of being in their hotel rooms, and they're in a place where, you know, there's other people coming in and out of the bubble. I hope it holds. I hope this is good news. I hope it's a harbinger of things to come, but I'm, you know, let's not count our chickens quite yet on this whole
thing. Well, did you see that thing about Bill Foley doesn't want to go into the bubble, but he does want to be able to watch the team live at some point? And,
yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll figure it out. He probably wouldn't have to quarantine. And it's like,
The NHL just put him on that fucking super great list that nobody else can get on, where, you know, you don't even have to go for quarantine for 14 days. They'll give you that fucking letter. It's just a joke. You know, Kevin McGran wrote something today about media access for the bubble. And I know that people, the minute he writes something like that, it's going to be the writers whining again. But here's the thing, like,
it's whining. But
well, hold on, no. NHL.com is going to have a bunch of writers that are going to be inside the bubble, like inside the bubble, not like staying at a hotel somewhere else and only getting certain access. They're going to be inside the bubble, and it's kind of, I don't know, it's going to be like that. At least you could have done is get like Steve Wino inside the bubble or some AP writer inside the bubble to lend at least some semblance of independent reporting on what's happening in there versus your, you know, the extension of your public relations arm. I love all the NHL.com writers. They're all friends of mine, but like, it's essentially what it is, right? It's propaganda at this point, right?
Yes. That's certainly true, but also like, I don't know, is Kevin McGran like, I'm super psyched to like move into the fucking bubble. You know what I mean? Like, I really don't know.
His point in the piece, and I thought it was an important one, is that they're not even allowed to go watch practice, the writers that are there, like, outside the bubble. And I think that's kind of strange. Like, you're going to let them in to watch the games, but they can't go in the press box and watch practice?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah. And I think a big thing here is,
but look,
we understand why they're doing some things, but what, of all of these temporary changes, which ones accidentally don't get changed back at the end of this?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what worries me. And I'm not somebody, I don't go to games anyway, so it doesn't affect me personally, but if we're just doing it was like the whole thing. Remember before the whole thing blew up in March, there was that few days where they were like, "Oh, we're not going to let you into the dressing room," and reporters complained, and a lot of people were like, "Come on, there's look around, read the room. This nobody wants to hear this right now." But the feeling has always been, the NHL and its teams would love to not have anyone in the rooms ever. They would be perfectly happy to have that. So does this become the foot in the door to make that happen? Maybe it doesn't. Maybe if we get past this and everything goes back to how it was and we all go, okay, there's nothing to worry about. But I understand why some people are watching it closely.
The only thing I would say, too, though, is like, okay, you're going to go in the room and half the questions are going to be like, oh, how'd you feel today? And unfit to participate, whatever, they can't tell you anything about a bunch of stuff anyway now. And
yeah,
even if they could, like, again, I always make the joke about, like, you'll defend the writers, but a lot of times after games, especially, it's a lot of just like, wow, what'd you see on that goal? Was it really good to get that second goal tonight? That shit. And it's like, yeah, you don't need like independent. I agree about the, morning skate and that kind of thing, because that's where you just like shoot the shit with guys and get story ideas and that kind of thing. Like, yeah, that. But I think on some level, I think it's just like, yeah, I mean, like Sean said, read the room. Like there's some pretty not great stuff going on in the world now. And
I wonder if it's going to be a thing where when we do come back to practices and stuff, if it's going to work more like what the Leafs do, which is to just bring guys out and not have us go to the locker room.
Yeah.
That'd be one thing I wonder. And the other thing, too, is, to the point of the injury stuff and the COVID positive test stuff, I wrote about this week. Like, we've talked about the medical privacy aspect of it. I completely agree with the players. I get what they're saying. Totally on board with that. But if a guy is deemed fit to play or practice and then leaves the game or the practice they're partaking in, it's not because they stepped in a pile of COVID, okay? It's because they probably got injured or some such. And mm-hmm. I just find it to be absurd that, I know the NHL wants to do this blanket coverage thing with injuries and positive tests and the whole thing, but, like, come the fuck on. Just tell us if it's an injury or not, if a guy leaves practice.
And the other thing is, like, and maybe this isn't just well understood, but I've seen things where guys are, like, not at practice and they're skating afterwards with a different group. And people are they're unfit.
Calgary,
they're not. Yeah. Well, Calgary was like we talked about last week was most fit, but there have been other ones where like somebody comes out and skate. Like if guys are testing positive, they're not skating with other groups. Like they're quarantined. So we can piece this together, but it's like
you have to do Encyclopedia Brown shit to figure out.
Yeah, I hope the players understand that like part of the gig. When they decide to do this and ask for privacy, is it's going to be a bunch of fucking sleuthing where a bunch of Bostonians are trolling the David Pasternak social media feeds to find out where he's been, and that kind of shit.
This is what you and I mean that's the thing, right? Because I mean, how many? It felt like all week, it felt like every single team there was five or six or seven guys unfit to play every day, and the coach is like, I can't say anything, unfit. And then at the end of the week, the results come out, and there's two positive tests league-wide. So if that number is accurate, there's an insane number of guys who now have people wondering who have just got, like, a bad ankle or who knows what. I don't know. And again, I know we've been over it a million times. I get that privacy is important. I get why they're trying to protect it. It's just this all seems very weird to me and very, very off the way that it's being handled, because you can't tell the fans, hey, we're going to come back in the middle of a pandemic, but nobody think about the pandemic. Like, that's just not realistic. So you've just got this weird situation. I guess you've got two options. One is you tell us what's going on, and it invades privacy of some people who won't want that, or you don't, and we all sit around and speculate. And when I say we, I'm not talking media. I'm just talking fans. Everyone speculates and tries to figure it out when it's maybe unwarranted based on the testing numbers we've seen.
Yeah. All right, let's close it out this week with a game show. I got a good one for you, boys. It's going to be Ryan against Sean. This was suggested by Kyle Duro, a Puck Soup listener, in the suggestions for this month's Chipotle, which, by the way, the voting continues and is a razor-thin margin right now between the Simpsons episode and some other bullshit. So if you want the Simpsons episode, get in the
Simpsons
Patreon.
Simpsons episode was ahead.
Support it.
When you tweeted it out, but...
I know, I fucked it up.
Seems to have tipped it, yeah. It's,
I fucked it up.
Sean's just rooting for a Simpsons one because it's another bonus episode he gets off.
I think so, maybe.
He's like, oh, I don't know.
If you go on the Patreon
about...
and vote for Simpsons, I get a day off. And yeah. I could use
there you
a
go.
Day off. So I'm just saying.
Tweet,
like, I'm not...
tweet that. You should tweet that, by the way, to let the people know.
Well, that would be trying to... That would be a foreigner trying to influence your... I've heard that's not good.
It's a... Folks, it's
fine?
A perfect podcast.
Yeah.
We don't have anything to talk about.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I have a million Trump things I want to talk about, but I promised everybody I wouldn't do this on this podcast. The game show
Cheeto in chief. There's a freaking orange in the White House. You believe this?
Okay, he's going to throw out the first pitch apparently for the Yankees coming up soon. And yep. I'm just trying to figure out whether it's going to be
bullet radar, right down the middle. Fucking
the radar gun wasn't calibrated, or the mound was too high. Many people are saying it was the greatest pitch ever thrown. Shit. The game we're going to play is called the Cameo Game. Are you familiar with Cameo, boys?
Yep.
That would be right. What's the word?
Word up is the reference you're trying to pull.
No, it is not word up. So Cameo is a service where you can get recorded video messages from celebrities for a small fee. So you pay somebody some bucks, and then they record a message, and you can like send it to your friend or your wife or your girlfriend or your husband, your boy, the whole thing. It becomes a gift that you can give somebody. And there are a number of hockey people on Cameo that you could pay to give you a recorded message of your choosing. So
God.
The game is going to be that you – it's Price is Right rules. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. It's not Price is Right rules. It's closest to the T rules. I'm going to say a name, and you tell me how much their Cameo goes for. And the closest one to the T gets the point. Now,
can you set like some goalposts here? Like, what's a good...
I'm glad you asked. Okay. I have some examples prepared for you to kind of give you a sense of how much these things go for, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jeremy Roenick. To get Jeremy Roenick to record a message for you, for example, if you have a straight rights conference and you'd like him to be your keynote speaker, you could pay for him to record a Cameo. A Cameo from Jeremy Roenick will set you back $200.
Jesus.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe
wait a little while. I have a feeling that
well, look, he's going to cover some legal fees. You know, who are we to judge?
Now, I wanted to set. So that's one extreme, right? And that's probably not the highest, but it's pretty high.
Okay,
Billy Jaffe, NHL Network's Billy Jaffe, NESN's Billy Jaffe, former podcast partner of Jeremy Roenick, actually, ironically. Also is on Cameo. If you'd like a recorded message from Billy Jaffe, that'll set you back $30. Okay, do you have a sense of the scope here?
Now, just for my own, how do these prices get set? Like, if I go on Cameo,
the person
say,
sets
like,
them.
$500.
The person
like,
sets
right.
them.
Okay.
Jeremy Roenick legitimately said to himself, "How much is my 25-second video or whatever the fuck worth to someone?" And it's $200.
Okay. All right. I was wondering that. I have seen this site before. I went on it once because I was going to... there's a bunch of Survivor people, and I was going to get the Survivor stuff for my kids. I thought they would find that funny, like someone they've watched on TV. And it was like $50, and I was like, no, we're not doing that. So.
All right, so the cameo game begins. Who is the last winner that we had? I think Sean. Did you?
I think
beat
I lost
Ian?
To you last.
That's time, true. So. Greg won. Me and Pat Fulini last week.
So Ryan, you get to kick or receive on this one.
I will kick.
Okay, Sean. Now this is. I don't know why we're even kicking or receiving because you both have to guess. But
anyway. Oh, that's true. Right. Fuck it. Yeah.
Here we go, Sean. Just begin with you for shits and giggles. Mm-hmm. Wendell Clark, how much is a cameo from Leafs legend Wendell Clark?
All right, so I mean, Jeremy Roenick is $200. Wendell Clark has got to be $750,000. all right, Wendell Clark. You know what? Geez, he's a bigger name than Jeremy Roenick, but or at least I could see there being more like diehard fans. But you know, he's a good Saskatchewan boy. He's not going to be one of these glory boy $200 guys. I'm going to say, but he's definitely closer to Roenick than Billy Jaffe. $150
for Wendell Clark. Ryan,
75 Canadian.
So the same. We both just guessed the no wait, that goes the other way. Never mind.
So what's your guess?
75. Yeah.
75? All right. And yours was 150?
Yep.
All right. Hang on. I got to do a little math here. Okay. All right.
Oh wait, we're doing math. So we must have been
the answer is that a cameo for Wendell Clark is $117. So Sean gets the point, closer to the T.
Oh, $117
for Wendell Clark. All right.
That's, yeah. Okay. 17. All right. Yes, I should have thought of that. Yeah, okay.
All right, Ryan.
Yo.
How much would it cost me to send you a cameo from your favorite NHL player, Sean Avery?
Oh, Sean Avery thinks he.
Now, before you say anything, I just want to point out. Sometimes
don't Regis Philbin me, man. Don't try to psych me out.
I'm just trying to. Before you answer,
no. Listen, I want to point out that some of these people I think feel like they're going to deal in volume. That's all I'll say.
No, I know. That's
okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'll go 65.
65. Higher. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going higher for sure.
Give me a number.
Oh, I got to go number. Yes. Okay.
or do you want to?
So can I say 66? Like, is that are we allowed to?
Yeah, or, you could go 66. Okay. Sure.
Yeah, 66.
Screw that's right. Man.
That's a brilliant guess. It's a brilliant guess, except not as brilliant as Ryan getting it on the fucking button.
No way.
$65 for Sean Avery.
Okay, but wait a second. No, I was including fees and...
how do you want to do this, by the way? First one to
okay,
four?
I'm just going
to
go ahead and say it. I think Ryan has bought a cameo from Sean Avery. That's the only way
possible.
He would...
I'll say this. I'm a big fan of the podcast Blocked Party. And they have a lot of stuff about cameos on there from, I mean, not usually hockey people. It's usually like guys who eat gross food on YouTube.
You have a sense of what the price
is. Yeah, I have a general idea of what cameo pricing is, but I've never opened it myself.
No kidding, you got a general. You just
it's
eyeballing Sean Avery and just nailing it. Wow.
I mean, who isn't eyeballing Sean Avery and nailing it? It's the best. It's the first of four. You're tied 1-1. Sean, how much does a cameo from the recently single Brooks Like set you back?
First of all, recently single?
I had no idea.
He was married to, what's her name from the TV show?
Juliana Huff. Right?
There you go.
Right?
Yeah, she owns the Huffington Post.
Pop culture. And, okay. Oh, man. Okay.
Brooks like.
Brooks, especially if he's, like, if you hadn't told me he was single, I would have been like, oh, he's married to a famous person, and maybe that somehow bumps up your price. But no, he's got, like, I'm going to say 50, and even that feels high.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 90. 50.
You go with 90.
Yep.
And the answer is that Ryan gets the point because Brooks Like, I shit you not, is asking for $200 a cameo.
Jesus.
Okay, I'm starting to understand why he's single. That was probably what broke him up.
Yeah, it's true. Like, your cameo prices is how you kind of envision yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, your this importance. Guy is... Yeah, all right.
All right. We're going to go to the next one. This is an interesting one. New York Rangers defenseman and burgeoning right-wing podcaster Tony D'Angelo.
Oh, God.
Christ.
How much would a cameo from Tony D'Angelo cost? This goes to Ryan first.
50.
50, okay.
55. I'm changing 55. It to 55.
Yeah. All right.
See, I wish I knew what his number was. I'm thrown off by this Brooks Like thing. I could see him being high, because I could see him being like thinking he was some Sean Hannity type dude. I'll go. you know what? Ryan didn't like do the $1 trick on me. So wait, you said 55?
Yeah.
80.
Sean is correct. The answer is $99 for a cameo from Tony D'Angelo. So we are tied 2-2. Sean, you get the guess on this one. It's not all just players on cameo. Sean, how much would it cost you to send a cameo to Ryan featuring his favorite vlogger, Steve Dangle? Ugh.
You know what? I don't know, but I'm going to find out because I'm doing that tonight. Wait, is Dangle honestly on?
Steve Dangle.
Way to go, Dangle, man.
Yeah, I know. What a go-getter.
I got to sit down with this guy and have a beer and get him to teach me how to do all of this stuff.
But, well, I bet you it involves a lot of, let's just say, the Chris Pratt gif. Doing that a lot.
Okay.
Step one, you get a hat. Step two, you turn it sideways.
Yeah.
All right, so how much does a cameo from Steve Dangle cost, Sean?
$50.
Okay, so he says 50. Ryan, what do you say?
30.
Ryan is correct. The answer is $24 is the going rate for a Steve Dangle cameo.
Now, explain, like, do they have to say anything that you tell them to say?
Yes.
I mean, my understanding is...
Because if they do, I'm going to lose all my money on this site.
Like, my understanding
the second this is over, I'm Googling Carrie Fraser, and I'm going to get a full signed confession from him for $37.50 or whatever.
So my understanding is if it's for another person, you can go like, hey, you know, my friend's a big Ranger fan or whatever. Mark Messier, I paid $500. Can you shout out Jared and his whatever? Like, you just come up with whatever, and they can either accept or reject it. Like, you can say, hey, Mark Messier, can you say Wayne Gretzky sucks? And he'll just go, I'm going to not do this one. And that's
right.
That's the choice they get to make.
Right.
Okay. So you got to be clever when you're getting them to say something that's like completely out of bounds. And then, all right, good.
All right. Ryan, this is for the win, because you're up 3-2. How much does a cameo from the Paul Henderson of U.S. hockey, Mike Eruzioni, cost?
Oh. Ooh. 120.
Ryan says 120 for Mike Eruzioni. Sean?
It's a real shot across Paul Henderson's bow, by the way.
How much does it cost to get him to ask somebody if they believe in miracles? Because that's the only...
Right. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
I'm going to say what I... look, my my life's on the line here. I can't be nice anymore. I'm going to go $1 less than whatever it was he said.
So 119?
Yes.
Mike Ruzioni, who has a legend in United States sports history, is charging $300 for a cameo.
This website is broken.
So Ryan gets the point and the game. I'll give you one more just for shits and giggles because this
Holy
one kind
smoke.
Of...
I'm, this go ahead and give it. I'm on the site already and I've like, I'm halfway into the... Ryan, you're getting one from Dangle and Avery tonight, so...
I'll just if you're on the site, let me just give this to Ryan then, because you might have already seen it. Ryan, how much does a cameo from Dave Hansen of the Hansen Brothers of Slapshot fame cost you?
There it is. Yeah, that's.
What do you think?
Let's go back to the Jeremy Rona classic, $200 buckaroonies.
No, it's a deep discount of $116 for Dave Hansen of the Hansen Brothers.
Great, good
the
for
one.
Him.
The rest of the list, real quick. Chris Chelios, $75. I think he's really undercutting himself on that one.
Yeah.
John Scott, $100.
Come on.
Okay. My favorite one, though, of all of them. I'll give this to you as a question, Ryan. How much would a cameo from noted Twitter follower Zach Boychuk set you back?
30 cents.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
But he does a million a day. And
I'm going to go 25.
Oh, you're so close. It's 20.
Yeah.
$20.
There you go.
I'm looking
former
at this
Lowell
list.
Walk Monster did Zach Boychuk.
You know what?
Right
there's
about
a,
this?
It, I feel like you buried the lead because the fact that Chris Pronger is on here.
Mm-hmm.
That you could have had me make a list of everyone in the hockey world that I in decreasing likelihood, and he would have been the last guy I think on this entire list.
What's Prong's going to run you on that site? 150.
He wasn't that bucks. Much.
$99.
That's fine. That's Tony D'Angelo numbers.
But to answer your
Brad
question,
Brad Marchand's on there too.
That's, yeah, to answer your question from before, Sean, like that's why I didn't give you Dougie Gilmore because Gilmore is actually charging $93 in the most fucking hockey.
See,
move
once
possible.
I wouldn't have thought of that the first time, but once Wendell was 17, that would have 100% been. I would have nailed that one.
What was Dangle's that? Dangle's done at least three cameos, by the way. Yeah.
There's a ton of NBA players on there. So, like, I think that's a big thing in the NBA. I don't know. Maybe it'll catch on in the NHL as well. But there's, I know for sure that, like, the NBA is, everybody has one. Not everybody, but, like, anybody who's, like, a mid-tier or below player has one. If it would be like if half the league in the NHL had a friggin' cameo.
By the way, real quick, for the folks that liked watching or listening to Muse and Pod, Melissa King, 165. Ryan?
That's high.
Richard Blaze, 110.
Reasonable. Freaking guest judge multiple years. You know.
And here's the most fucked up part. Carla Hall, an icon. Only $85. Jeff Morrow, the sandwich king of Chicago that's on the Food Network's The Kitchen, is $115. Too much. All right. We could do this all day.
The market bears what it bears, folks.
Indeed. That's right. That's Puck Soup for this week. Man, what a great episode this was. Our thanks to the Kraken for making news for us. Our thanks to Raycon for sponsoring the show. Go check out the mailbag on the Patreon and do keep your eyes open for the next bonus episode, which, again, if you'd like to give Sean some time off, will be the Simpsons episode, but maybe you don't. Maybe you don't want to listen to me and Ryan.
No, you do. You absolutely do. Especially, like, what's the one that it's up against? The, like, cringiest? I don't even know
the
what
cringiest,
that...
The cringiest moments in NHL history.
I would... Guys, I'm going to mail that one in hard, so you might as well just let the boys do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Let the slam. Da-da-da-da-da. Let the boys be boys.
Let the boys be boys.
Let the boys be boys. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week. Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to an NFL commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Puck Soup.